From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Full moon tonight. It is marvelous. By the way, get up to coasttocoastam.com and look at the Instagram photo we have posted. It's the logo up there at the top, the little camera. That's the Instagram logo. Look at the picture that was sent in by our Coast staffer, Michael Cosio. Pretty interesting. Next hour, investigative reporter Linda Moulton Howe joins us, followed by conversations with Linda. Here's what's happening. U.S. military chiefs say a war with North Korea could result in around 10,000 American combat-related casualties in just the opening days, 3,000 more than the total killed fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. They raised their concerns after attending a classified gathering in Hawaii, where they looked at how a full-scale conflict with the nuclear state could play out. Vladimir Putin says Russia is developing an unstoppable nuclear cruise missile, which cannot be intercepted by any anti-missile system on Earth. The newly developed intercontinental ballistic rocket, with what he calls unlimited range, was one of the several unveiled by the Russian leader in his State of the Nation address in Moscow. Things seem to be getting tense. Kroger said it would stop selling guns to buyers under 21 years of age through its Fred Meyer locations. Now, that's the third major retailer to tighten its policies. Others, Dick's Sporting Goods chain and Walmart. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, with us. John, what's your take on all this that's been going on over the last couple of weeks?
Well, it's been pretty frustrating with regard to the laws that keep on being proposed. It's kind of hard to see how they would have anything to do with stopping these attacks, particularly the number one that keeps on getting pushed all the time, these background checks on private transfers. On the other hand, something that we know work, and that is essentially getting rid of these gun-free zones where yet another attack occurred with this Florida attack. It's something that a lot of Democrats and others are really refusing to even consider. Okay. And it's hard for me to see why people don't understand. Just reading the diaries and other things that these killers leave, how that makes it a target for people.
And let me ask you this, John. I don't have a problem, and you know I'm a concealed weapons permit holder. I'm a supporter of guns. I don't have a problem raising the age limit to 21. How about you?
Well, look, they're 20-year-old women who get stalked. I mean, why? Obviously, there are costs and benefits for any of these laws. We've had a 19-year-old go and commit this horrendous crime. People who are 20, 19 also need guns for self-defense. What we need to look at or at least consider is that they're both costs and benefits. It's because somebody committed this horrible crime who's 19. I mean, what happens the next time somebody does it at 22 or 25? There's like no discussion about what is the net effect of having this increased age requirement. We've done this once before. There was really no age requirements federally before 1994. Right. There's only been a few academic studies that I know of that looked at the impact that had on crime, and they find no beneficial effect from raising it.
And what do you think of the president's assertion yesterday that if there's anybody who might seem to be a little disjarred or imbalanced, we're going to go and take their guns, and we'll worry about it in court later?
Well, I mean, I think that there are problems with that, too. Look, it'd be nice if it was easy to go and identify these individuals. Over the last decade, 60% of these mass public shooters were actually seeing mental health care professionals prior to them engaging in these attacks, and yet not one single case were any of these individuals identified as a danger to themselves or to others. It's very difficult to go and identify these individuals. My concern is, what's your backup plan? What happens if you're not able to go and identify these individuals beforehand? And that seems to be something that isn't getting serious attention.
Right. That's a big problem, too. John, thank you. John is also the president of the newly formed Crime Prevention Research Center. The Dow Jones plummeted 420 points after President Trump announces steel tariffs. That's right. On imports, that'll raise the price, which he thinks will be good and level the playing field for American companies and help them expand their plant closings in recent years. However, Wall Street was not too favorable about this because they think this is going to mean that it's going to cost us as American taxpayers more money in the long run. Young adults spend more than 6 hours a day feeling stressed out, concerned about housing and getting a job. 56% admit having ended up in more trouble after keeping problem solving to themselves. Interesting. Taking a daily fish oil capsule during pregnancy and the first few months of breastfeeding may reduce a baby's risk of food allergy, according to research. That's a novel study. Let's check in with MyHeartBook.com's Christian Wild on this report. Interesting, Christian.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, it's always good, George, if we can find supportive studies that make similar claims, and there have been 19. In October last year, the American College of Allergy and Asthma claimed that food allergies in the United States among young children have risen 21% in the prior 7 years. So this is a big issue, apparently. Parents who have had a child who has had food allergies may benefit from today's news in adding omega-3s during future pregnancies. They'll be ahead of the game. Ruchi Gupta, he's an MD, he was lead author of the earlier study, said while 21% represents a large increase, the good news is that parents now have a way to eventually prevent some allergies. So while we're talking about the benefits of fish oil and omega-3s for children, there is, of course, the great benefit for you and I and your listeners as adults. Omega-3 fatty acids reportedly greatly reduce inflammation, as Coast to Coast listeners are already aware of, by lowering the risk of chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and, of course, arthritis. And because fatty acids are highly concentrated in the brain, the fish oil is said to be important for brain memory and performance. One word of caution. There are hundreds of fish oils on the market, and they're not all equal. If you have to pay a little more for quality fish oil, this is one item you shouldn't compromise on. Here's a simple test. While it's not scientific, it may help you. Put your fish oil capsules in the freezer. The oil in the capsule should not freeze, should remain fluid if you tip it back and forth. It does not freeze, but if it does freeze,
take it back.
Color,
take it back.
Yeah, it may be an indication of impurities in the capsule, and make sure the contamination and metal tests have been performed on the oil that you take.
Christian's website is myheartbook.com, myheartbook.com, and he has all kinds of incredible books and information for you at myheartbook.com. Thank you, Christian. Up next, the man who's trying to get disclosure, Stephen Bassett, with some major announcements right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast this hour. Stephen Bassett with us, executive director of the Paradigm Research Group, founded in 1996. To push and end a government-imposed embargo on the truth behind extraterrestrial-related phenomena, he has spoken to audiences all around the world about the implications of formal disclosure by world governments of an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. We will continue to talk about his latest work, pushing for disclosure, and also a brand-new project that he has undertaken. Stephen, welcome back.
Yes, indeed, George. It's good to be with you.
You have been working away. I saw you at Conscious Life, and you were just flocked by people. People really want the answer to this, Stephen, don't they? Disclosure.
Oh, they do. And their numbers are growing every day. And the excitement is particularly high right now because of recent developments.
It seems like there are some people coming forward, talking about it a little bit more. And I guess you got to give people credit for doing that, right?
Of course. we're seeing extraordinary, unprecedented developments in the last 2 years. Most recently, I think Tom DeLonge's project, the To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science, is an unprecedented new development, which I think is going to get much more intense in the coming months. We've got that. And in general, the process is advancing very quickly, George. I'm very optimistic this might be the year.
This could be the year, indeed. And what you're doing also is you're working on a new project, a DVD project. Tell me about this.
On a DVD project, well, two things. One, after 21 years, I finally upgraded my website to the 21st century.
Which, it was not that bad before. It wasn't that bad.
It was a shag rug from the 70s, George.
All right, I'm being
And
polite.
Now, I while I was in London with nothing to do because it rained every single day for like 2 months, I learned WordPress, started slinging widgets plugins and all that stuff, and renovated the site. So it's paradigmresearchgroup.org. It hasn't changed, but it's pretty hot. I kind of like it. So that was done just before I got back. However, tonight, something I want to announce to your listeners that I think is very important, and that is this, that Paradigm Research Group has entered into a joint venture with Never Ending Light Productions, which is CEO'd by Amar Singh Kalika, who was the director and one of the key people that did Sirius documentary. We are coming together to create a exopolitical doc, the first one ever, really, true political documentary on this issue. It is called Disclosure.
How about that?
It covers the period from March 29, 1993, to November the 8th, 2016. Meaning it goes from the Rockefeller Initiative to the 2016 election. We'll have a prologue which will set the stage for this political period, and then it will have an epilogue which almost certainly is going to deal with developments coming from the To the Stars Academy Arts and Science program and project. There are scores of interviews that we are going to go after, including some very high-level people who may be familiar to you, the Clintons and George Stephanopoulos, Leon Panetta, all the people in the Clinton team, John Podesta, as well as the civilian participants in the Rockefeller Initiative. And it looks like some people that are emerging recently will be overlapping into that. And so it's going to be a significant doc, and the timing is ideal. And most importantly, and I can't emphasize this enough, particularly for those that want to help crowdfund this, and guess what, we're crowdfunding it. We are committed from the get-go that we're going to do everything we can to put this doc in widescreen theater distribution, because no documentary on this issue has ever gotten widescreen theater distribution.
Right. That's true.
That's truth embargo stuff there. And an issue of this magnitude, this importance, this much public interest, it's astounding that hasn't happened. And so we want the gravitas that comes with that. We want the acknowledgement of importance that comes with that. And so we're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
You know, all you need is a few screens. It'll start growing. That's all.
Or a distributor that's the real deal. Let me tell you, Disclosure, I don't know, you probably know this, George. You can't turn a corner and not bump into Disclosure. It's everywhere. It's on people's minds. It's on their lips. It's turning up in the conferences. In the space of just 8 days, I got calls from three different showrunners, two of them at the History Channel, and basically the calls went like this. We got this show we've been asked to do by the History Channel, and it's about Disclosure, right? And I got another one and another one, all in 8 days. Recently,
I did
a two-hour interview with Prometheus. They are going to do a two-hour special Ancient Aliens on Disclosure. And so finally, George, after 11 years, I am finally going to make it on Ancient Aliens.
That's right. Perfect. Perfect. As a matter of fact, I'm taping another season with them next week, and they may be asking me about Disclosure, which
they
you have been doing,
will.
Stephen. You have been doing this now, gosh, since 1996, at least, right?
96. I'm heading on to my 22nd year.
I mean, I remember getting you on my local Nighthawk show in St. Louis, and you were pounding away at this. and all excited.
I didn't think it would take this long, George. Yeah, I didn't think it would take this long. I was counting on.
But this may be. This may be the closest you've ever gotten right now.
Oh, this is. I mean, again, we'll talk a little bit about it tonight. We don't have a lot of time. There's a huge, huge amount going on, unprecedented stuff, and I can give you a taste of it.
Sure.
But I've got like already 9 more conferences in addition to the 2 I just did booked. I'm going to be doing a live stream Monday night on MUFON Television, 7:30 at MUFON.tv for all the MUFON people and anybody that joins between now and then. I'm speaking at the UFO Con. I'm speaking at the Contact in the Desert and so forth and so forth. And I'm mostly talking about the 2 major developments that occurred between 2014 and 2016, and that was the emergence and then the launch of Tom DeLonge's Two Stars Academy,
mm-hmm.
and also PRG's political initiative that ran during that election campaign. Most of your listeners know about the DeLonge initiative, but they probably don't know about PRG's political initiative. And the two were running in parallel, and the two together, I think, had a very profound effect on what we're seeing now.
Tom basically walked away from his rock group to devote his full time to UFOs, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was after selling 30 million albums. I didn't practice the guitar much. I played it a lot, but I just really wasn't serious about it. I regret that now, George. But
it's
an amazing story. It's an amazing story.
It really is. It really is. Now, let's talk a little bit, Stephen, about disclosure. And then when we come back after the break, tell us a little bit on how the documentary is going to be set up. If you're getting any resistance at all to any agencies or anything like that, if you feel that. Sometimes they try to put a quash on things like this. But in terms of disclosure, we lost Edgar Mitchell, who I thought could have been the Apollo 14 astronaut, one of the focal points of getting disclosure. How much was that a loss for what you're doing?
It was a great personal loss. He did a lot. He really stuck with his fundamental message. He attended 2 of my ex-conferences. He was part of the Citizen Era on Disclosure.
Yep.
He helped found Free, that new organization that Ray Hernandez is now running. And he did this after, while he had, I think, two cancers, a heart attack and a triple bypass. So he lived a full life right to the end. And of course, we miss him. We miss Roger Lear. We there are so many.
John Mack. These were all heroes.
Yeah.
Are we replacing these incredible people, Stephen?
Well, guess what? Tom DeLonge replaced them in spades.
Yeah, that's true.
Tom DeLonge put together a team. And again, this is a very complex story, but he put together a team with the help of insiders within the Pentagon and the CIA who were clearly green-lighted to do this. And he announced that team on October the 11th on a Facebook, kind of a low-key Facebook video, no press conference. And anyone that goes to the Stars Academy of Arts and Science website, just go to the Stars, Google to the Stars, and carefully read the bios on these 10 people, which is currently 10 people. And I will tell you without equivocation, it is the most powerful, most extraordinary group of individuals ever assembled on this issue that we know about in the public domain and that we know about in the private domain, except with one exception possibly, and that is the initial group that was set to manage the issue by Truman and the Eisenhower administration, which probably was called the MJ-12 group. And that group was probably more powerful than this. But this group is unprecedented, and what they're doing is unprecedented. And so a new group has come forward. More names, more witnesses will follow. Edgar is just one of the many pioneers upon which these gentlemen and ladies stand upon their shoulders. But the truth embargo cannot prevail ultimately. It cannot win. It's going to have to end. And the question is, how soon? I favor as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Stephen, let's talk about the documentary when we come back. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines and give everybody an opportunity to chat with you. Stephen Bassett with us. He's the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. And as he was mentioning earlier, he has got a refurbished website. He's brought it into the next century. So go ahead and look at it. It's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. He has been pounding away at this since 1996. He will not let go, and maybe, just maybe, he'll get the answers he's been chasing. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're going to take your phone calls now with Stephen Bassett. By the way, he has sent us an additional link that is right under his name at coasttocoastam.com for the disclosure film, so go take a look at that. Got some new live events coming up for you, as we've been talking about, but time is running out at Salt Lake City because it's less than 2 weeks away. We are going to be at the Janae Wagner Theater Saturday, March 10th, with a live stage show, which will include ancient technology expert Jason Martell, the man who died twice and lived to talk about it, Danyon Brinkley, and ufologist Nick Pope, plus a meet and greets and some live band and music, and it's just a great fun event. Full information, I'll tell you about that in a second, where you can get the tickets. But it's at the Janae Wagner Theater, Saturday, March 10th in Salt Lake City, Utah. April 21st at the Virginia Piper Theater, we're going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona for another live show with new, brand new guests as well. Looking forward to that. And then on June 9th at the Silverton Casino in Las Vegas, a live stage show as well. Full information and how you get your tickets by going to coasttocoastam.com. At the top of the homepage, click events. Welcome back with Stephen Bassett and your phone calls this half hour. Linda Moulton Howe joins us with her series of special reports next hour. And then we'll culminate the night with conversations with Linda. So, Stephen, how will this documentary be structured? Who's writing it? I'm sure you're part of it, writing it, but tell me the structure of it.
It will be directed by M.R. Singh Kalika. And it will be written by myself and MR. It will focus on first the Rockefeller Initiative that occurred in 93 to 96. We will interview as many of the participants as possible, including one who is your next guest, Linda Moulton Howe, as well as, and when the appropriate time comes, members of the Clinton administration that were involved in that initiative. We will then cover a period I call the interregnum from 2010, a number of things happened then, and then we will put tremendous emphasis on the political campaign of 2016. What your listeners, going to put it this way, there were two initiatives that began, got underway in late 2014, one of which your listeners know a great deal about, and that is Tom DeLonge at that point was formulating the concepts and taking meetings that would ultimately lead to the announcement of the To the Stars Academy 2 years later. And that's gotten a tremendous amount of press of late. Fine. The other initiative, your listeners don't know much about, and these two initiatives were not aware of each other. The other initiative was Paradigm Research Group's, my political initiative on that campaign, which got underway in November of 2014. And what happened, what happened is simply this. I got to Washington. I hired my public relations person back. I had some money. And I went to, I started approaching the Congress to take meetings on the Hill, which I did. And she started approaching the media to try to get them once and for all to engage this particular politician, Hillary Clinton, on the Rockefeller Initiative, given that she was not only running for president the second time, but was considered the, shoe-in to win the White House. And this time it took hold. And starting in November, with some articles in the Washington Times, PRG was able to generate nearly 400 articles in mainstream English press directly discussing the connection between the Clintons, Podesta, her husband, and the Rockefeller Initiative and the ET issue. This had not happened before. Not only that, 120 of those articles actually referred to PRG and my work, though I never got a call from a single news station. It was these articles and pressure from the reporters writing these articles, trying to get comments from both Clinton and Podesta, that ultimately forced them to make the decision that they had to get at least proactive on their own terms. And that is what generated the tweets from John Podesta. It's what caused them to put Hillary on Kimmel. Bill Clinton on Kimmel. Obama went on Kimmel. Obama went on Ellen DeGeneres. She gave an interview to the Conway Daily Sun. Podesta gave 4 or 5 interviews. Most people don't know why this happened. I assure you, that was not their intention. They did not want to talk about this at all, though I believe she intended to disclose once she was the president, but they felt they couldn't address the issue directly because it would risk losing the election. However, what they came to understand by November, December of 2014 is that the Rockefeller Initiative had finally caught up with them. That history, which they had refused to talk about for 23 years, finally caught up with them, and they had no choice. And thus began a two-year saga of sorts that very few people know the story behind it. I know the story behind it because I was there. And so that's going to be part of it. And then it turns out that there's some overlap between this political story up through the election and Tom DeLonge's work. And so hopefully we will get some of the team from To the Stars Academy to interview for this documentary, include them, and they'll certainly be involved in the epilogue, given what's going to take place over the next 6 months. So that's the doc, George. It could be major. It could be unprecedented. And by God, we're going to try to get it on the big screens. And at least match what Fahrenheit 9/11 did, which was, I think, 1920 screens.
That would be amazing indeed. This email in from William in Utica, New York, and he wants to know, what will the government say if they disclose why they held back for so many years?
Well, they have a lot of public relations issues, and they have a lot of explaining to do. And it's not going to be easy, but, you know, governing is not easy. And by the way, that is one of the key things that Tom DeLonge is trying to do. If you listen to his interviews carefully, you will see that one of the key things that's happening here is that he is sort of running a public relations campaign for the military intelligence community. He's trying to get the point out that they're not the bad guys, that they had to do things for national security reasons, and they'd like to help. And they are, I guess you could say, trying to become part of the solution and not the problem now. The reasons why they made their move, well, that's another story, and I'll be talking about that in coming lectures I'm going to be giving in a lot of places, including Vancouver, by the way, where there's going to be a special disclosure conference in Vancouver, I believe on June the 20th. But again, it's an amazing story, and the government will say, hey, national security, we couldn't tell you. After that, well, it became complicated. I don't know. But I'm sure that they will have top public relations people coming up with top explanations.
They're going to need it because, you know, if this comes out the way you hope it does, they've got to explain why for so many years they denied everything.
Again, it's national security, Cold War, nuclear missiles. It's not going to be that tough. Their biggest problem, George, is really explaining why they weren't able to open this up after the Cold War ended in 1992. And that story, which is really at the core of this documentary, is a very significant story.
Well, let me ask you this, Stephen, too. As you look at this and as you structure this, have you gotten any resistance from anybody that you want to get on this documentary?
Well, let me hear it this way. Some people have been contacted. There are many, many more to contact. And what you do is you begin the process. You start doing interviews. We've got 4 or 5 we can line up right away. And then as the doc takes form, as it becomes known, as the funding develops, then you start approaching more people. Because most people, you know, when it comes to something like this, where they may have their face up on a giant screen, you know, IMAX or whatever, they want to see that there's something going on. And so you start slowly and build. And as the thing develops, I think more people sign on. You never get everybody, but we've got nearly, I think, 45 to 50 people that are potentially interviews for this documentary, relevant interviews. And my story to everybody, my statement to everybody is going to be, look, we're going to tell the story. We want you to tell your story as well. And if you can't, well, we'll tell it for you.
And let me ask you this too, Stephen. With disclosure, the people involved in this, yourself included, you don't make a lot of money doing this. You've been pounding at it for years. What's the motive? Even for you, why have you not let go?
Oh, it's not motive, George. I mean, this is the most profound event in human history. It has enormous potential to change the equations and the circumstances that we face now as a global civilization. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before in your show, but it will shock you that I have always been and always will be an anti-war activist. This goes all the way back well before I got into this field. But I don't say that because there's already a lot of anti-war activists out there, and there's not too many disclosure activists. But at the core of this is, if we don't have a major change of state, if we don't have a paradigm shift in the way we think about ourselves, about nations, and about the planet, we are headed for a nuclear war. Just about 10 days ago, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists moved the clock to 2 minutes to midnight, the closest it's ever been since the Cold War began.
Dangerous.
People need to pay attention here. We're getting into deeper and deeper water. We have a lot of reform to do. We have a lot of changes to make, and it's not happening. Disclosure is the kind of event that shakes everybody awake, gets everybody's attention, and will allow us to start thinking in new ways. And therefore, I view it as the absolute best anti-war modality that we can pursue if we actually want to bring an end to war on this planet, which we damn well better do pretty soon.
First time caller, James in Greenwood, Arkansas, to get us started here. James, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, I was just wondering, why can't the government just admit that there are negative, positive, as well as neutral extraterrestrial biological entities that are operating on a whole host of different fronts for different reasons, doing a large number of operations all the time, trying to wake people up, trying to guide people negatively towards bad things, trying to guide people positively towards good things, kind of staying in the middle and just observing and collecting samples and seeing how they're doing and maybe even stabilizing the planet. Like this one awesome picture I constantly watch.
All right, let's go, Stephen. Why?
Well, first, we need to get them to acknowledge that there's extraterrestrials here at all.
Right.
All right. One is good, and that is the breakthrough. Now, all of the other things this gentleman is talking about, well, there's a lot of that, and that will come out post-disclosure in an orderly fashion. Not as fast as we want it, but we'll get the information and we will learn the scope of this engagement by these extraterrestrials. But until the government finally discloses their presence, their fundamental presence, nothing more, then we're not going to get any of that. And so think of disclosure as the door into the vast library of information with which we will then be able to educate the human race as to this matter.
And what are your personal thoughts on the ET presence, personally? What do you think's been going on?
Well, look, as you know, because of the truth embargo and we're still adjusting to the internet, right now we're virtually sailing in a ship made of lies on an ocean of secrecy. We've got 55 theories out there for every fact. So it's a murky mess. Yeah. I try to keep a basic sense of this. I'm not easily attracted to any of the rather more interesting and exotic theories. I believe we're being engaged because we crossed the nuclear threshold and we're approaching a whole range of other technological thresholds that are existential for us. I think the ETs fully understand that, and they made the decision to open a more extensive engagement in 47, and that engagement has been slowly advancing and the awareness of it growing, and the acclimatization of the human race to their presence is growing. It will lead to a self-disclosure event, and in a couple of years after that, an open contact event, which means if 1918 is the year, 2020 could be open contact. That's what I think is going on. I believe that we will find some of the ET activity and engagement to be cool, some of it to be eh, and some of it to be, that's a little, a little awkward.
Why did we tell them we were here?
Evil aliens, I don't see it yet. Aliens bent on doing us grave harm, I don't see it. It's an easy thing to say. It attracts attention. I don't see it yet. And if I ever do, George, I will be happy to come on your show and say, my God, they're coming to get us.
Well, you know, David Jacobs believes that they are not here for a good purpose.
He has a theory that's based on a kind of colonization process. I'm familiar with it. I've listened to his arguments, not persuaded, but they can't be dismissed out of hand. Where you get the information is from the contactees, and I've talked to a lot of them. And many hundreds of thousands have submitted their accounts to various researchers, particularly the Strebers. And overall, those accounts do not describe a colonization, in my view, and they do not describe what would be considered a highly destructive engagement. I don't see it. That's all I can say.
Let's go to Arthur in Fresno, California, west of the Rockies. Hello, Arthur. Go ahead, sir.
This is to your guy speaking. Now, you were talking about the movie Prometheus and all these others. Are those really based in fact, or is that just a made-up thing?
Well, the movie Prometheus, of course, you were talking about the production company involved with Ancient Aliens, but the movie itself...
Yeah, but still...
Go ahead, it's a good question.
Prometheus is a cool term. I love it. Prometheus, of course, is the producer of the most successful E.T.-related show in all of history. It's about to go in its 12th season. The movie Prometheus, loved it. I really want them to continue that franchise. The next one kind of went off in a different direction, but that is, in fact, science fiction. But there is no question that most of the major directors and some of the writers and the producers of these sci-fi movies dealing with ETs are fully aware there's an extraterrestrial presence. Believe me, when you're worth that kind of money, you got people lined up out your side, your office door, wanting to tell you things. And of course, you can read the books that are out there in the public domain. And so they know it's true, and they're excited by that. And they have inculcated, in many instances, some of the known truths about the ET reality into their films. But overall, their job is to sell lots and lots of tickets. And so they have to embellish. They have to go in certain directions. But overall, the 300 plus, maybe 350 sci-fi movies about ETs going back to 1951 will be considered a positive, meaning that they went a long ways to getting people really used to the idea that there's ETs out there.
Stephen, how do people get involved with the documentary?
Well, the website is up at disclosure.film. It doesn't get any easier than that.
No, that's easy.
.film is a new domain which is going to be used for films. Disclosure.film. We have a crowdfunding set up there, and as soon as we start getting some funds in, we will begin production. The site's very well done. M.R. Sinkoika did most of that site. And of course, Paradigm Research Group has links to it. And we invite people to go to paradigmresearchgroup.org. But we are optimistic because what we have seen of late is that when the public, the general public, and certainly your listeners, see something really substantive that they think can make a difference, they are prepared to get behind it. A Sirius, which M.R. Sinkoika directed and helped fund, raised $500,000 in crowdfunding. Unacknowledged raised $700,000 in crowdfunding. And as we know, To the Stars Academy has already raised $2.5 million for their public benefit corporation. So we're hoping that this documentary will also demonstrate the kind of substance, again, particularly if we can get it on the big screen theater distribution.
Look, I've known you for years. This is the most excited I have heard you in a long time, Stephen.
Yeah. Look, we've had our moments in the years where Disclosure looked like it was possible. I've tried to advance it when I felt it was good.
I kept saying, no, it's not going to happen yet, Stephen. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah, but I'll tell you, I've read all the articles. I linked to almost 200 articles about the Tom DeLonge Initiative and the New York Times articles. They released the first gun camera footage in history any country has ever released, and they released another one, and there's more to come. They have 10 people on that team. It looks like an entire military intelligence complex. This is unprecedented. There clearly a decision has been made inside. I'll be going into detail at some of these lectures I've got coming up, but clearly a decision was made inside the Pentagon and the CIA that Disclosure, particularly if Clinton had won, which is one of the reasons things got underway in 2014, another story, but is coming, and they realize they're sitting holding the bag.
Exactly. So, Stephen, thank you so much. The clock's got us. Let's update us on your documentary as you get close to it. Up next, Linda Moulton Howe with some stories of incredible high strangeness.